parenting, it's not for the faint of heart. And homeschooling, it's certainly not for the faint of heart. My name is Ruth Adams, and I am grateful for the legacy my parents gave me in home education. They used homeschooling as a tool to disciple me in the ways of the Lord by pointing me to Christ, His Word, and His Gospel as we walked along the way, as we would lie down at night, and as we got up in the morning. Now it is my turn. So far, my husband Matt and I have graduated our firstborn from our home school, and we are busy at work training and teaching the 6 children we still have left at home. It is a joy and privilege to be able to take homeschooling into the next generation with a strong focus on family discipleship and a Christian worldview. In my book, Legacy Reflections of a Homeschooled Homeschooling Mama, I share my legacy in home education that spans 4 decades and what the Lord has taught me through the process. The book delves into many topics that will help the reader better understand the history of homeschooling, trends that have run through the movement, the importance of heart connections with our children, the supreme importance of having a gospel-centered family, ditches to avoid in the homeschooling journey, and practical home management tips I have learned along the way. This story is my story, and I share it in hopes that my journey may strengthen you in your journey. No, homeschooling is not for the faint of heart, and it is not an easy path, but I believe that it can be a powerful tool to disciple our young people to know and love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It can equip them, by God's grace, with a solid Christian worldview so that they will be prepared to face the lies and attacks of a culture that is increasingly becoming hostile to the Word of God and the followers of Christ. I hope you will pick up your copy today. The book is available on Amazon and also through my website, legacyhomeschoolreflections.com. Hello, friends. My name is Ruth Adams, and you are listening to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections podcast. For my new listeners, I was homeschooled back in the prehistoric days of the movement, and by God's grace, my husband and I have graduated our oldest child and are still homeschooling our 6 other children. This podcast deals with all things homeschooling, but my primary desire is to encourage ladies of all ages to seek the Lord and His Word and to think and live biblically. I am glad that you have tuned in, and it is my prayer that this will be an encouragement to you. The scripture verse that I have chosen for this episode of the podcast comes from James chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. These verses are a sober reminder that whatever successes we may attain or possessions we may require, our lives are like grass that quickly vanishes. Our time on this earth is temporary, and we need to be living in light of eternity. And this is what we are going to be discussing on today's episode of the podcast. Well, last October, my husband Matt and I reached the milestone of our 20th wedding anniversary. And basically, he took me on my dream trip to the destination of Prince Edward Island to see the Lucy Maud Montgomery, Anne of Green Gables history. We really were very blessed and privileged to be able to go somewhere so beautiful and special. And I am just thankful to the Lord for His blessing us with that special opportunity. As a young teenage girl, I was introduced to the classic Anne of Green Gables movie starring Megan Follows. I absolutely loved the movie and have watched it many times over during the last several decades. It has really been interesting watching the same movie through different decades and seasons of my life. And it's one of those movies that I know I need to have a tissue box nearby when I watch it because it just pulls at my heartstrings. Well, after a fascination with this much-loved story for over 3 decades, it was really exciting to go to the island where the author Lucy Maud Montgomery lived and dreamed up her narrative of Anne with an E, Gilbert Blythe, and Diana Barry. Driving over the Confederation Bridge to enter the island was quite the experience. It is a very long and high up bridge, and how exciting it was to reach the end and drive up on the island. We very quickly observed that the island's two main industries seemed to be fishing and agriculture. It was very serene and quaint, and things seemed to move at a much slower pace from what we are used to living on the outskirts of a big city. I remember one of the days while we were there, we visited the grave where Lucy Maud Montgomery is buried. People have placed all kinds of trinkets on her tombstone in her honor, and as my husband and I walked away and down the sidewalk, I was struck with the brevity of life. Lucy Maud Montgomery was only 67 years old when she died, and the thought crossed my mind that if I died at 67, then I would have already lived well over half of my life. Thoughts went through my head of what matters in life. Here I had just stood at the grave of a very famous author whose life is but a memory now. And as I toured the several houses and homesteads that inspired her stories and her beloved Lover's Lane and the haunted woods, it was very obvious from the plaques that I read that she was a huge dreamer, much like the character Anne in the book series. She had a huge imagination and just big dreams, and she ended up achieving great success. But as the verse I read earlier says, our lives are like the grass that withers away. So today we can tour her birthplace and the home that she grew up in and houses of relatives that inspired her story. We can read her books. We can visit her grave. But her life was short, and then she too withered away. And it just struck me that day how fast life flies by. Here my husband and I were celebrating 20 years of marriage, and they went by so quickly. And just our need to be intentional to use our days in ways that matter for eternity. It made me contemplate my life and what is most important. And I am still thinking about it, which is why I am podcasting about this today. As my husband and I toured some of the landmarks surrounding Prince Edward Island and pertaining to Lucy Maud Montgomery, we learned a lot about her life. It was very interesting, and here are some facts about her. Lucy's mother died when she was only 21 months of age. Her mother was a victim to tuberculosis, so that was very sad. We were able to see the room where she was born, and then learned that her mother died when she was just 21 months. Also, her life on Prince Edward Island inspired her book, Anne of Green Gables, and she spent much of her childhood exploring the great outdoors and used many of those surroundings in her novel. She worked at the local post office before she became famous for writing the book Anne of Green Gables, and my husband and I were able to walk into that post office, and it is still in operation today. Another thing that I noticed very interesting is that every publisher rejected Anne of Green Gables at first sight, and Lucy Maud Montgomery was so disappointed by the rejection that she hid the novel in a hat box in her closet for 2 years. And then she finally mustered up the courage to try again. And at that time, the Page Company of Boston published it, and the novel immediately became a bestseller. And I think there is a lesson in that for us to not give up on the vision and dreams the Lord places on our hearts. If our dreams are of Him, from Him, we need to continue pressing onward and trusting that in His will and timing, He will fulfill His plans for us. Now, this is different from us coming up with our own goals and trying to see them to fruition in our own strength. We need to be prayerfully determining what goals are of the Lord and then move forward in His strength. And when we have setbacks or discouragements, we need to not grow weary. We need to not give up. And I just think about how Lucy Maud Montgomery was rejected. And then 2 years later, this company published her book and she became a bestseller. So if she had not tried again, we wouldn't know the story Anne of Green Gables today. And I think this principle really applies to the mission of motherhood. We desire as mothers to see fruit in the lives of our children, and we need to not grow weary, but we need to keep being faithful, keep praying, keep trusting the Lord to do His work in the hearts of our children. And on those days where we feel like we're having setbacks and discouragements and not seeing the fruit or the growth in our children that we want to see, we need not give up. We need to continue praying and pressing onward and trying and trying and trying again, prayerfully, being faithful, continually taking our children back to the gospel, back to the Word of God, continuing to disciple daily in the home. And I really found this story of Lucy Maud Montgomery's initial failure with her famous novel encouraging, because there are many things in my life that I feel like I just wish I could see more progress, or I could be more productive, or that I would accomplish more in certain areas. And yet this reminds me that even when life sends us setbacks and things take longer than we wish, and that we can just continue to pray and seek the Lord for His will and timing. His timing is always best. And then also hold our dreams loosely, so that if the Lord says no to something, we will be willing to accept His no. We will be willing to follow His lead along the way. Well, after touring Prince Edward Island and learning more about Lucy Maud Montgomery, I see her in my mind's eye as a dreamer, just like Anne Shirley of the books and movie. And this has left me thinking about our dreams. It is fun to dream, and it is fun to have things we look forward to. And yet, how many of our dreams are we dreaming in light of eternity, of God's overarching plan for all of eternity? I think of the oft-quoted passage in Colossians 3 that tells us to set our minds on things above. It goes like this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3:1-4. Perhaps we can ask ourselves some of these questions just to assess, how much are we dreaming and living in light of eternity? So here are some thoughts for consideration. How concerned am I about sharing the gospel with the lost around me? If our eyes and our hearts are set on eternity, we are going to be concerned for the eternal souls of those around us. Here's another one. How much am I feeding my family entertainment instead of family discipleship in the home? How much am I focused on academics in our homeschool versus focusing on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Am I more concerned about my children excelling academically, or am I more concerned that they are growing in Christ-like character and in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How much am I pursuing the Word of God, meditating on Scripture, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, in comparison with time wasters like social media and leisure reading and things like that? There are so many other questions we can ask ourselves in these matters, but what I'm getting at is, Are we really living in light of eternity, or are we caught up in the things of this world? Are we really seeking Christ, or are we coasting spiritually? Are we dreaming dreams that will impact the kingdom of God, or are we just chasing temporal pleasures? These are heart-probing questions, and honestly, I think we need the Spirit of God to continue to realign our hearts to be passionate about what He is passionate about. In ourselves, we will gravitate towards pleasing self and towards instant gratification and earthly things, but it is the renewing of our minds and prayer that will help bring us back into the balance that we need and help us store up treasures in heaven instead of just earthly treasures. One of the first things my husband and I picked up on about Prince Edward Island is the slower pace of life there. As we drove across the island to get to our hotel, we saw farms and fishing docks, we saw community, and we saw very little fast food or shopping. The island seems to be built around family, community, and honest to goodness, good hard work in gardening and fishing. One night we were having dinner in the hotel restaurant and we asked our waitress, where do people shop on the island? And we just hadn't seen much at all, and so we were curious. And she told us the area that people can basically drive to get some of, to visit the bigger box chain stores. But the island does not have a lot of shopping other than that one area. And so, having grown up in the big city of Houston, Texas, I have been around large shopping areas for most of my life. And seeing something like people living on an island with very little shopping and fast food was really different for me. In a way, it feels like it would be inconvenient, but in so many other ways, that way of life on the island has great appeal. It makes me think about simplicity and how what really matters in life is our walk with the Lord Jesus and our relationship with others and how God designed us to be fulfilled from good hard work and seeing the fruit of our labors. And people in rural agrarian cultures really do value hard work and they're grateful for the harvest when it comes in. And I have definitely seen this dynamic in Ohio's Amish country where we have a guest house that we rent to tourists throughout the year. And there is a joy in working hard and then seeing the harvest come in. I think it also brings a sense of the sovereignty of God because those who do gardening know, or farming, you know, in the large scale especially, they know that there is the part that man does in preparing the soil and planting the seed and tending the garden, but there is a totally different element that only comes from God. The success of the garden is affected by the weather, and our sovereign God is the one who sends the rain and controls the weather. And that reminds me of parenting too. There is the part we as parents do in loving our children and providing for their needs, nurturing relationship with them, teaching them the truth. And there is the part that only God can do. Only God can save. Now, how I wish I could repent and believe for all of my children. If I could, it would be a done deal. But only the Spirit of God can regenerate and make the hearts of my children alive in Christ. So there is my part as a mother where I want to be faithful. And then there is the part I must pray and walk in faith, trusting the Lord to do what only He can do in their hearts. Another thing about the island that we observed, and again that I have seen in the agrarian culture among the Amish, is living seasonally. We were on Prince Edward Island the last weekend in the fall as they were kind of shutting down all of the Anne of Green Gables tourist places. Now, we were able to see the main tourist places, but we were shocked at how little the island did have in the way of fast food and tourist shops was being shut down. The little that they did have was being shut down. And there was very little on the island that was kept open for the winter at all. And some of it was shutting down the weekend we were there. That was really a different concept for me. I mean, all I've known my whole life is McDonald's is open all year long, but they had some kind of fast food, I can't remember what it was called, but where you could go and get burgers and all, and it wasn't going to be open for the winter. It was open during tourist season, and then they shut it down for the winter. That would be really odd if we had McDonald's or Taco Bell shut down for the winter, but this is the way it was there. And we were told that many people have summer jobs that they do with the tourism, and then when tourism dies down, they do different jobs for the winter. So they might have their summer job and their winter job. And life really revolves around the seasons there. It's quite interesting. And again, this is something I have observed in Amish communities as well. Many of the Amish ladies focus on gardening and canning in the summer. And then during the winter, they quilt, they sew new clothes, and they do things that are in the house during the cold winters. So living by the seasons has intrigued me because I live in Texas where it can feel like a beautiful spring day in January. And we can pretty much do whatever we want all year long, and we can buy whatever food we want in the store throughout all the seasons. And it is different, however, when people are eating a lot of what they grow themselves. Those who live more of an agrarian lifestyle know what crops and what fruits to expect each month, and when canning and putting up for the harvest will happen each year. They plan their activities around when they will be bringing in the hay in the fields and when certain crops will be ready for harvest. And their summers look very different from the winters. And really, it is a beautiful thing to watch a community working together in harmony with the seasons. The reason I'm talking about living seasonally here is because in contemplating my thoughts from Prince Edward Island, I have thought about how God created seasons. He gives us different seasons in our lives, and each one holds its own special blessings. For many of us, He gives the season of childhood and then of singleness as young adults. Then there is the season of marriage for most people, and then oftentimes the season of raising children, and then the season of letting them grow up and leave the nest. And then the season of having an empty nest and being grandparents while growing older. The Lord gives us all the seasons of the year. Each year, He faithfully sends each season. And each one contains its own beauty. And we are told in Ecclesiastes that there is a season under heaven for everything. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. My question for us today is, what season of life does the Lord have us in? Sometimes we are in seasons of blessing and great joy, and sometimes we are in seasons of great trial. Paul said that he had learned to be content in whatever situation he was in, or we could say whatever season we are in. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And it is interesting that Paul says that he learned in whatever situation he was in to be content. And this implies that we are not just naturally content. I know that I am not naturally content. We must learn to be content. And when I think about life on Prince Edward Island, I think of the seasonal living and the simplicity. I don't think the people of the island are running around at quite the frenzied pace that many of us do today. I really got the feeling that the people there took pride in their community and valued friendships, relationships, family, and hard work. It just kind of made me think that I think many of us would be much happier if we lived simpler lives, if we focused more on what really matters in life, and if we taught our families to value work rather than live for entertainment. So much of the American culture wraps around constant entertainment, but there is fulfillment in working hard. And just also making the most of every season of our lives, and even the seasons of the year. Actually, my friendships with some of the Amish ladies that I have met have helped me to think more about living seasonally. When you think about it, some activities and pursuits just fit better at certain times of the year, and it is good to maximize our time for productivity in the areas of greatest progress based on the seasons. For example, it is just logical to think about sewing projects in the winter when days are cold and dreary, and to think about growing food and canning in spring and summer. These are not gospel issues by any means, but it's just something to think about. God created the seasons, and it is a gift to have changing seasons. And so it is helpful to think about how we can work with the seasons to have greater productivity overall. Certainly, I think our modern culture has put so much pressure on us to go, 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 and push, 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 and always be busy, busy. And there is so much competition in the culture today. What if we slowed down and simplified and focused on loving God and loving people and forget about keeping up with the madness going on in the culture? There is so much pressure to keep up, and social media puts us under the burden of keeping up with false realities. So much of what we see on social media is misrepresented and staged, and yet we think we are a failure if we don't create that image of perfection in our own families. What if we just look to the Lord and His Word and simplify our hearts and our priorities, lining our lives up with His Word? I think to the degree we can do that, we will find more rest and peace in our souls. Well, thank you for listening to some of my thoughts after visiting Prince Edward Island. It was such a treat to get to travel there, and such a blessing, God's faithfulness in our lives after 20 years of marriage that flew by, just to see God carry us through the 2 decades and the 7 children He's blessed us with. Great is His faithfulness. And I feel like whenever I take a big trip that the Lord always puts things on my heart to ponder when I go new places and see new things. And really, after processing what I saw there in Prince Edward Island, the 2 big things that stick out to me are living and dreaming in light of eternal priorities, and just praying about areas to simplify and even more fully embracing the seasons. Also, going along with that, and just always choosing what matters, such as relationships, to invest in instead of transient, passing, trivial pursuits. Choosing relationships, choosing things of eternal value, choosing a gospel-centered life, choosing to live for the glory of God, choosing to live on mission for the Lord. Life is short, and only what is done for Christ will last. I pray you have been encouraged by this episode of the podcast. I always appreciate hearing from listeners. It's such an encouragement to me. Star ratings and reviews on iTunes help make the podcast more visible to more people, and so those are greatly appreciated as well. and I would love for you to connect with me via social media. You can find me on Facebook at Legacy Homeschool Reflections and on Instagram at HeartAtHome24. I also want to remind you about my website, LegacyHomeschoolReflections.com. You can go over there and subscribe to my newsletter so that I can better keep in touch with you. And please check out our brand new store on the website. We are so excited about it. I hope you have a blessed week, and I will look forward to meeting with you next time.